Good to see you. Don't see many visitors. Welcome, Jeremiah, back again. It's good to see you. And anybody else who might be here for the first time? Don't think so, but welcome to all the regulars too. Our thoughts are with the family today and with all those who grieve. And of course, recently Gwen also passed away, so there is much sadness, but also rejoicing that those saints are rejoicing in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes the world doesn't make sense. Yesterday in Texas, a gunman shot at least 20 people dead and another as many wounded, and I think he killed himself. And there are many such acts of violence throughout the world, many done deliberately, perpetrated against Christians. There are many who are suffering. Sometimes even the word of God doesn't seem to make sense. I was reading Jeremiah 32 this morning, as you do on a Sunday morning, and King Zedekiah was telling the prophet Jeremiah off. Why are you prophesying all this evil against Judah? You know, why are you saying we're going to be taken into captivity? You know, it's you know, horrible. Stop it. What's Jeremiah's answer? The Lord told me to buy a field. What? What's that got to do with all this? And you have to read to the end of the chapter before God says, it's a long chapter, I'm going to bring the people back. And they will buy fields and exchange contracts, and I will bring peace, and it's all in my hands, and I know the plans I have for you elsewhere in Jeremiah, the plans for your good and not for evil. Our God is a mighty God, and despite all distractions, terrors, disasters, he is in control. In Romans we read, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in Revelation, the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You should have a hymn book. We're singing a hymn later. Could you turn to inside the back cover to the Lord's Prayer, please? And we'll read this together. If English is not your first language, then do say the Lord's Prayer in your preferred language. But let's also concentrate on your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now I'll get back to the beginning of the service. If you turn inside your new sheet, there's today's service, and there's a call to worship, which I'll read to you. And you'll notice the words, in reverence and awe, which we take up in our first hymn. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for God is a consuming fire. Let us stand as we take up those words.
Please be seated. Let's pray. We come in reverence and awe before the mighty throne of God. We have no right to come, but you bid us come, and we respond. Our minds and our hearts are weak, but we do ask that you will strengthen us, that our worship may be acceptable in your sight. Bless us as a church, Lord. Thank you for the family of God. Thank you that we are gathered in your name. Be with us as we worship you this morning, whatever our thoughts, whatever our concerns, may we come before you in the grace of your presence to worship and honour you. In Jesus' name, amen. Not too many notices. The Good News paper is here, free for you to take, a copy, but also bundles for delivery. So do, if you're able, take a bundle, they're in the back hall for delivery. So come back for tea and coffee, and I think Muriel's left some cake as well. Wood bread, was it? Something special. So don't miss out on that. Don't get crushed in the rush. There's a prayer meeting on this coming Wednesday. Do try and support the church. I sometimes think the church is Wednesdays, yeah, the powerhouse of the church. And today is when we gather, resulting from the prayers of God's people. Not exactly true, I know, but it means a lot. And it's sad sometimes to see so few there. If you are able to come and pray, or if you need to pray at home, then please do. It'd be great to have you with us. Other notices are in the news sheet, so do refer to that. So we'll move on to our next song. I will worship with all of my heart. Let's stand as we sing this. Please be seated. Let's pray for our children before they leave for their classes. We thank you for the inheritance you've given us in our children and grandchildren. We pray for them as they go to their classes. We pray for their leaders. May Jesus be real to them. He is real. May they know that reality as they grow, and as they grow in him. And be with them, Lord, this morning. Be with those who, the teachers who perhaps missing something by not being present in the main congregation. We know that you make up for it, any sacrifice that we make. Be with us all this morning, and be with our children especially, in Jesus' name. So our children will now leave for their classes. The ongoing work of this church is entirely dependent on the congregation, on the contributions of its congregation. But we do not expect visitors to contribute. If you want to, that's fine. You're giving to God and not to us. But now the stewards will wait on us for the offering. Let's pray. Lord, we commit our money to you. Help us to commit our wallets to you. Help us to give to you all that you require of us. But may we be cheerful givers. And we know that you are able to multiply all that we give in your name. So bless this offering this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Let's stand as we sing that song.
Paul Edmonds, in the person of his sister Joy, is going to lead our prayers.
I've been drawn to the following passage from the Bible, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8, a time for everything. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Using some words from those verses, let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can meet today to worship you, read your word together, and have fellowship with one another. Whatever our past week, day, morning has been like, forgive us for our wrongs and help us now to be still and have a time of listening to you. A time to be born and a time to die. We thank you for the gift of life and for the families you have placed us in, our birth, adopted, and spiritual families. We pray for those within our fellowship who are grieving for those whose time it was to leave us. Thank you for Gwen and Doreen's lives. And we pray for their loved ones that you'll comfort them in these early days of bereavement and loss. Help us as a church family to support them. A time to plant and a time to uproot. We pray for those who are going through a period of change. Watch over our young people who are changing from primary to secondary school and secondary school to college and college to the wide world. May they seek you for guidance and put their trust in you as they start this new phase in their lives. We pray for the young people currently away at Christian camps that this will be a time of reaffirming Christian faith or finding you for the first time. Bless the leaders of these camps as they teach these young people Bible truths and protect these young minds from the harmful influences of the sinful world in which we live. A time to heal. We pray for those who are unwell, for those amongst our fellowship and those personally known to us. And let's just have a time to be silent as we uphold them in prayer. Time to tear down and a time to build. Lord Jesus, we pray for the people of Whaley Bridge that you'll protect them from the dangerous situation they're in with the threat of the water engulfing their community. We pray for the emergency services and engineers who are working to make the dam safe. And we pray for the churches and Christian groups within that community that will be able to show your love in a very practical way to the people in that place. We pray for this church as we wait for a new minister to help us rebuild. And may you lead us to the right man for this position and help us all to play our part in supporting this fellowship and the work in this community. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. We pray for the mission and outreach events that are being planned for this community, that you will put your hand upon them. For the messy church activity taking place in Highlands Park in a few weeks' time, the turning and the Saturday morning family support group at Romford Baptist Church for primary school aged adopted children starting in October. May we use these opportunities to draw alongside our friends and neighbours and share and spread your good news. We pray for those involved in outreach and mission further afield. We particularly remember our friends and missionaries Phil and Kathy Davison living in the US and serving you there and in Africa. For Ian, Emma and Alice Pickett in the Middle East, and closer to home, Steve Dunn in Harold Hill, Andrew Hawkins and the work of Joshua and Esther Dean with Stand By Me. Help us all to do our part, whether it's at the school gate, the supermarket aisle, the care home, the kitchen sink. A time to tear and time to mend. Lord Jesus, we live in a broken world, and there are times when our relationships are not as they should be. If there are friendships that have torn and need to be mended, help us to take that step and offer an olive branch. If there are hurts within our church fellowship, help us to seek reconciliation, forgiveness and acceptance. Help us not to be people who are bitter, but help us to take the time to laugh and the time to dance. You have given us so many blessings. We have so much to be thankful for, and the wonderful promise of eternal life. A time to be silent and a time to speak. As Richard comes to bring us your word, bless the words that you have given him. And through your word and in the silence, help us to listen to what you are saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I think that was me, not Joy. Thanks, Joy. If you can be turning to page 1202 in your Bible, Steve will be reading from Hebrews chapter 3. Morning.
Jesus, greater than Moses, is headline. Chapter 3, Hebrews. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honour than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honour than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house, if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As had just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief.
Don't worry, Steve, I'm not going to grill you like I did Ken and Anne not so long ago. I remember when Steve and Sarah became Christians, it was great. And to see you growing in the Lord. I know behind every good man is a good woman, but there's also a great God behind Steve, and he's such a faithful servant and witness. Let's pray for Jack and Eleanor, their children. They don't really come to church, but they need the Lord as much as any of us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this family. We commit them to you, asking that you will work with peace in their home and in their hearts. We pray especially for Jack and Eleanor, that they may commit themselves fully to you, as Steve and Sarah have done, and be with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Now we turn to our hymn books, number 253, Speak, Lord, in the Stillness, chosen by Richard. Seated. And now Richard is going to bring God's word. So welcome again, Richard. The stage is yours.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your encouragements too. And thank you for the one that prayed. It's not an easy business to come here, up here, and to pray. But God encouraged you and encouraged each one of us. Now, I'd like us to turn to Hebrews, but to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and reading from let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6, I apologize, reading from verse 11. To the end of the chapter. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you're no longer trying to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. Tis 5, isn't it? Forgive me. You're right. I'm just testing you. Where are we? Let's go back to verse 13. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good and evil. But if you go back to chapter 3, look at verse 7 once again, and it's a warning. It's a warning to each one of us against unbelief. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. As for the day in the rebellion, during the time of testing in the wilderness. So both chapters, both indicate the importance of listening. This is one of the hardest things for me to do personally, is to listen correctly, to listen with understanding. But the importance of listening is vital. Now, I'd like to illustrate this point by someone who wrote this. He said, apparently he was fond of motor racing. I watched some motor racing a few weekends ago and was reminded that not so long ago, the racing drivers were completely on their own on the track. They had to count their own laps. They had to keep straight what position they were in, figure out how much fuel they had burnt, and know whether they could finish the race without adding another pit stop to the equation. Because they couldn't communicate with their crew, they were left to go it alone. But then in helmet headsets were introduced so the drivers could communicate with their crew chiefs. How many drivers do you think took advantage of this opportunity? Well, to be in constant communication with their crew chief, of course, all of them. Now, the crew chief was on their team. Now, think of that. He was on their team. The crew chief had their best interests in mind. And the crew chief had more data, more info, and better vantage point, which dramatically increased the odds of them running a better race. Now, the author also points out, friend. He's speaking to each one of us. Friend, the God who wants to speak to you is always on your side. He has better information than you have. He has better vantage point than the one from where you are sitting. And he really wants you to be better in an only really important race you're going to be entered in this life. But just imagine, if right in the middle of the race, the driver called up the crew chief and went on and on and on, moaning his head off. Oh, how tough this race is. My suit, it's too hot. Oh, if only I could have an ice cold Coke. When is it going to finish? Never once allowing the chief to speak about the situation. We'd think he's lost his marbles. God wants to speak to you. He is our crew chief. He wants to speak. So if God is so anxious, and I put it in a very important sense here, so anxious to speak, how will we get it done? How does the King of the universe communicate with earthbound men and women once they allow him to get a word in edgeways? Getting a word in edgeways. What can be more important, brothers and sisters and friends, than to have a correct listening mode? We only worship God, and that is the title, worship and listening. They're combined together. They're intimately combined. We only worship God in the level that we hear him speak. This is why there is this injunction, direction from God's word throughout the scripture about hearing and listening. Jesus could frequently end his parables with these words. He that hath ears to hear, Let him hear. The psalmist, on the other hand, put it in this way: today, if you will hear his voice, which we've just read from Hebrews, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. And this is echoed in Hebrews 3, verse 8, which we've read, and also a warning from Hebrews 5, verse 11. And here it seems to me the writer says, in effect, I'm getting ready. I really want to talk to you about Melchizedek and his relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, your Saviour. But you know, I can't continue. I can't go on. I'm concerned about you, seeing that I have many difficult things to say, and you are dull of hearing. Something's numbed you into silence, into not thinking. And there are moments in my Christian life, and I believe in each of us, when we go numb. Things are not getting across. The Lord is not getting across to us. Are dull. We're dull of hearing. Why? Well, we'll look at it in a minute. In Isaiah said this: seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. This is one of the wonderful consequences of hearing, worshipping and hearing, because God is near through the Holy Spirit. He wants to communicate some wonderful facts, some important business. Do we know when God is speaking to us? That is the question I put to myself. Do I know when God is speaking to me? Can we together sense the way he is leading us? Isn't that what we want above everything? Lord, how are you going to lead us? The spiritual ability to recognize the Spirit's impulse, the way he will communicate and speak to us, requires us to listen, requires us to stop, like this man in his racing car, moan, moan, moan. When we recognize the Spirit's impulse, it comes from listening to and hearing God. Now, I want to approach this talk or subject from a generalized point of view and then move on to a particular point. Now, by general, I mean knowing how to listen to God anywhere. Not only here, but at home. At home, we can listen to him at home, at work, on a train, walking, in the park or common, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. God is on the lookout. God, our chief, is speaking to us. Are we listening? And I would like to put this to us, to ourselves. We have choices. And sometimes it's hard to accept these choices. Yet it can be thrilling and true. God is trying to get us to listen to him. Of course, there are some folk, and I'm sure it's not the case with us, but be careful. Some people may deny this. Well, I can't accept that, Richard. They say that if that were true, they would know it. I'm the first to know it. I'm the first to get the idea that God is speaking to me and I'm not listening. But it is affirmed 7 times, apparently, in Revelations chapter 2 and 3. Each time Jesus gave a particular word to the church, he added, look, hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He brought much encouragement to these particular churches. He knew their ins and outs. He knew their problems, but some were stubborn. But in each case, he said, hear, please listen to the Spirit of how he speaks to the churches. God is constantly trying to get the church's attention. And one has said, it's very interesting that after Jesus addressed all seven churches with these words, hear what the Spirit saith or says, he then narrowed his invitation down to one person, one solitary person, and said, if any man or woman or teenager or child hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I'll be thrilled to come in. I'll be over the moon. I want to be with you, and we will have a really wonderful time. We'll sup with each other. We will learn from each other. I will be teaching you, and we will be refreshing one another. Had you realized that Jesus needs, in one sense, refreshing when he sees us adoring him and worshiping him? Oh, but there's always one that says, oh, I protest. I don't like the way in which you're saying this. I've got another point of view here, and I want to tell you this. My problem, yes, you've got a problem. My problem is getting God to listen to me. Isn't that sometimes my problem and yours? I identify, for instance, with the psalmist who said, hear me when I call, O God, my righteousness. You've enlarged me when I was in distress. You've had mercy on me. You've heard my prayer. Well, that's where I am at the moment. I'm always asking God to hear me. Is that wrong? Maybe you feel like someone who said, oh God, we have fasted and told you how much we agree with you, and you don't even notice. You see, it is possible to spend time every day or wherever you might be talking to God like this. But the problem is that it is we, it is me, it is I who are doing all the talking, all the thinking, all the groaning, and we shut God out. May this not be the case for us at Evan. And all the time, God may be wanting to communicate something so sensitive that it needs a clear perception, an understanding. It needs a clear communication and listening. He wants to address each one of us. He loves us. But we want to talk about one thing, and God is saying, look, I know what you want, but that's not on your agenda. That's not on my agenda. That's not my problem. Your problem is over here. We're looking in one direction, and my Savior's trying to get us to look in another. Now, when someone develops a hearing problem, no disrespect to my brothers and sisters who have to wear hearing aids. But even as you grow older, you begin to say, what? I can't quite get that. When we develop a hearing problem, it usually doesn't happen overnight. It is gradual, an almost unnoticed event. You're not hearing as well as you used to. And that can be so true of us spiritually. And on the same level, we hardly know it is happening. In the end, we have to be jolted and made to realize what has been going on because we've fallen asleep. It is like not realizing we have been asleep until we wake up. Are we woken? Are we awake this morning? There are two reasons why God has difficulty in getting us to listen to him. The first is our inability, there's a point of human weakness here, the inability to absorb or take in his counsel, his word. We can only take in so much, but when we open this matter to the Lord in humility and say, look, I can only take in so much, he understands. He's aware of this. He takes that into account. But unfortunately, there are others of us who are just not absorbing anything at all. No counsel is getting through into our lives. Jesus said to the disciples, I have so many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, the disciples wouldn't have admitted to that. They would have said, well, try me and see if I can take it in. See if I can take it. Speak plainly. But Jesus said, you can't take it in. The problem is we all overestimate our ability, our capabilities to grasp and to take things in. And not realizing that if God were to tell you all there is to know, our minds would snap. We just could not take it in. God, in a very gracious way, has to deal with us where we are. And where are you this morning? You are where the Lord knows you are. The second reason why God has difficulty in getting us to listen to him is that there is uncleansed sin within us as a result of not walking in the light of obedience. We say, Lord, speak to me, not realizing that we're messed up inside. God answers, I did speak, but you wouldn't take it. We say, I didn't want that. I didn't want to know about that. Lord, speak to me now. I am speaking to you. But you're not acknowledging the difficulty of uncleansed sin. No, and we go on, speak to me, speak, Lord. God is trying to reach us, and we hear him to the degree that we are walking in the light. It is possible that God is trying to speak to you along a certain line, but we are saying, I know God. I know. But I know that you wouldn't have said that to me. Definitely not. So let's come to the positive aspects of listening, active listening. In the case of an open mind. Now, the first quality required for active listening is an open mind. Now that means our minds are not closed, but are open. It coheres with, it relates to a holiness, a life that wants to be like Jesus. Paul says about this, finally, brothers, whatever things is true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. This listening comes to a Christian who has an open mind, an open heart, an open awareness, wanting to be more like Jesus Christ. And those wonderful aspects, these truths, will become more and more apparent. Lovely, whatever is of good report, and so on. And secondly, there's a willingness to let go of our pride. This has an important part to play in our listening, a willingness to let go of our pride, a willingness to be vulnerable. Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, "You say, I am rich, I've increased with goods, have need of nothing. And the truth is," says Jesus, "you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked." One author says, "I sometimes think that revival will break out when Christians are willing to lose face." Am I? Jesus says, "He that loses his life for my sake shall find it." A willingness to let go of our pride. And third, listening out for God's voice. Listening out for God's voice. Always listening out for God's voice, even when it involves a telling off. Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I want you to be zealous, therefore, and repent." God may speak to us through a friend, a stranger, through unanswered prayer, or through withholding a vindication that I so badly need. It may be through illness. It may be through a hymn. Sometimes light surprises the Christian while he sings. It may be through disappointment. It can be simply because you see a need. If we were really walking in the light of this listening, we will look anywhere for God's way of speaking. So sometimes, through circumstances, God lovingly is telling us off. He's enlightened us to that fact that we must learn. Again, unfortunately, many of us might well say, "Oh, if I have to believe that anybody could be God's instrument in my life, then forget it. I'm not having somebody come up to me, blah, blah, blah." There are some people I draw the line with at. Yet Paul said, "I am an adepter both to the wise and to the unwise." I make a comment. Many, many years ago, when I first started my job, I got to know a young fella at this particular place of employment. Got to know him, learn a lot about him. We talked at times about the gospel. And all of a sudden, on one occasion, he turned to me and said, "You mustn't be frightened of people. You must share the gospel with them." I said, "Where is that coming from?" I believe the Lord used that youngster as a means of encouraging me not to be so shy. At that time, he wasn't a believer. I hope you got some idea. Sometimes we deceive ourselves without realizing it. We think we are open, actively listening to God, when we are actually blinkered. I expect God to speak to me in this one way, and that's this way only. When all the time he's approaching us differently. Someone has put it like this: God gives hints, little indications, little pushes, rather than directions. He lets you come to the conclusion for yourself. Why didn't I think of it? Because time is getting on, I'll come to the last point. Finally, the most important area in which we can learn how to listen and worship, we must obey the impulse of the Holy Spirit, which we may know will lead us into a Christ-likeness. This will bring honor and glory to God. But if we don't obey, when we become hard of hearing, and gradually don't hear God saying, "This is the way, walk in it." As far as is possible, we must come together to church, like we're doing, in an open state of mind. What do I mean? Sometimes we come with a very burdened and preoccupied heart. There are many reasons. Some are so legitimate. Some are so heart-rending, we just cannot concentrate. But we've got the Holy Spirit here, who knows that we can become so preoccupied with a lot of other things. But he teaches us, "I want you to preoccupy your moment by listening." And he knows how difficult it is for us to listen. And God knows how difficult it is for him to speak to us when we're like that. It's better if we can put our own concerns, whatever it might be, so that God can speak to us in a way that is relevant to us. It may then turn out that he will deal with the problem we had. We must come expecting God to speak to us. Have we come this morning expecting God to speak to each one of us? We must trust the Holy Spirit to have directed the little preacher in his choice of hymns or choruses, the reading, the preaching, the sermon material. And we must receive God's word with openness and humility. We must, of course, listen critically to what the preacher is saying. Are you? No minister could produce a congregation of rubber stamps. Well, stamp it. Great. We know that this is the right word, but you have not taken time to critically appraise it. And then each person in our congregation, we must think for himself or herself to assess whether what is the preacher saying is true or not. But if we listen with a heart of an attitude of learning to listen and to find out that this is God's word, we will listen prayerfully. We must know the art of listening and praying at the same time, and that's not easy. We must always be aware that powers from below, Satan himself, would work against the preaching of God's word. He'll do anything. He'll use any circumstance. And for ourselves, we have need the grace to receive what the Holy Spirit is saying. The minister and his congregation are all in it together. It is not just a matter of saying, I wonder if he's going to preach well today. Someone who is only a sermon taster will not worship God. But if we come longing, this is the last point, if we come longing to hear God speaking to us, actively and prayerfully listening for him, in humility and dependence on the Holy Spirit, then true worship will take its place in turn. May God encourage each one of us. Before we do come to the communion, the next hymn, which is Lord, you sometimes speak in wonders.